Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Twilight of the Apprentice on Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens deleted scenes, and more on this week's podcast. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast. Oh man. Welcome, folks. Welcome. We've got a great show for you. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad that you've decided to tune in this week. I'm very excited. We've got another jam-packed hour of unadulterated Star Wars awesomeness. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the program, as I always do, my good friend and yours. He's your friends, folks. It's Mr. Mark Herleman, everybody.
There were my best Quacky Monkey Lizard.
Okay, all right. That was a great start. The best part about that was the slight internet delay, so there's a nice 4 to 5 second pause, and then boom, in comes the Quacky and Monkey Lizard. That's right, folks. Mark's back at it. I'm back at it. It is episode 215 of this very program. We're already comfortably into the 200s now. 215.
You know, what's surprising is come August of last year, Beyond the Films had actually passed the Star Wars Report.
Oh, that's right.
And was plugging away at being over 200. And we're still sitting at 197. Like, I'm about to drop that one tomorrow or the day after.
I'm not going
to
lie, though, Mark. I feel better. I was feeling guilty that before you guys were super regular and you've missed a couple episodes here and there, which is perfectly understandable. We did it more than you did, which is why Beyond the Films eventually caught up in episode numbers, and now we're comfortably in first place once again. And I have to say that's thanks in large part to one of our early Patreon goals, which was to never miss an episode. That was our first goal.
That is true, because for a while there we were like, do we take over the title as flagship? Like, and now we're like, yeah, that ship has sailed, man. Look, it's way, I can't even see it on the horizon anymore.
Indeed. Well, and I will take that opportunity to plug our Patreon page. You can go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport and support this show if you enjoy the program and want to support us and keep us going each and every week, like so many are. You can support us there at multiple levels and get things like, t-shirts, Google Hangouts, and as I'm very pleased with. I've been very happy with our recent Patreon series that we're doing on Star Wars Rebels. We're doing these little 22-minute commentary episodes and posting those. So if that kind of bonus content is what you're interested in, or if you just want to support the show, I got an email from a guy. I haven't had a chance to respond. It's like, hey, I just want to support the show, which that's cool, man. We appreciate it. The fact that you don't need anything extra, but, you know, we like to give it to you guys anyway who support the show there. So again, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. But enough about all of that bantha poodoo. Let's get into the news.
We have something to report.
Closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bolton spies.
We can see the clear transmission.
There it is.
Listen. But it up. Bup. I had to kind of acapella it alongside with everything.
Didn't recognize me with this red arm.
Can we just say that 3PO is obnoxious? Can you imagine having an actual protocol droid? Which is the ultimate irony.
That's where the Waves app dropped the ball. Like, they should have had, you know, the app tell you, like, well, if you take a left right now, the odds of you getting there on time are going to increase. But, like, you know, just, like, rambling on. Where you're like, oh my God, shut the app off.
Anthony Daniels like, it'll be an extra 3,020. I can't remember the number. Oh well.
What are the odds that your mom is going to be very mad at you at this delay? You really should have taken the left, not the right.
Exactly. But here we are. We had a little bit of a late start for those of you guys tuning in live. How was the haircut?
The haircut. Oh my God, man, that took forever. Like, yeah, we were there an hour and a half before 5. So I guess that would have been like 3:30. Walk-ins are welcome.
I'm telling you, man.
The problem was,
let me ask you.
There was too many people that were scheduled, so it was like, another person scheduled. Damn it!
No, I mean it happens. It happens. But let me ask: do you have the great clips in Oregon? Is
it's Supercuts.
Supercuts. Yeah, I'm familiar. Great Clips. I don't know if it's a Southeast thing, but it's another one of those kind of chain stores. But they have an app where you can check in online. Which
well,
is
that's what I found out about this place. It's called the Rogue Harbor.
Oh, no.
So of course, Rogue, I was like, oh, dude, we're going there. But yeah, the lady's talking about this app, and I'm like, watching people come in, I'm like, man, I should be downloading this app because people, I have a feeling, I'm getting snaked
you,
right now.
That's the super top secret. But I
was listening to this lady. She was chatting this guy up about Star Wars: The Force Awakens, and the guy's like, no, I've heard nothing but great things, but I'm thinking I'm going to wait until I read the book or comic first. And I'm like sitting there going, don't do that.
Wait.
Why? No.
Did he think that it was like a comic first and then was made into a movie? Like,
I don't know. I so wanted to engage him in like, conversation, but I was just like, don't, man, just don't do it.
You should have. It would have been a great story for the show. But in the comics...
Yeah,
but
he's like,
comics.
In the books, I'm like, man, if you're reading the books, you're going to be really in for a hurting. Make sure they don't say Legends on them. Well, actually, you're hosed either way because they only said Legends for a year before they changed the universe. It's such a nightmare. But yeah, I was laughing in my mind. I'm just like, wow, this guy's really, like, I wouldn't be like, I was hesitant, you know, on going and watching the movie first because of watching episode 3 and how great the Stover effect of Matthew Stover's episode 3 novelization was. But wasn't the case in this situation.
Yeah. I never read the novel to it. I heard it wasn't that, there weren't that many. I read the Verge piece or Mashable or whatever. Somebody just led all the differences in the novel. And it's like, all right, I feel like I've gotten what I need out of it. but let's get into the news here. This week, everyone's getting ready. The big season finale for Star Wars Rebels is this Wednesday. Of course, this podcast episode goes up to the wide world Monday, so a lot of you guys will hear this before. Some of you guys will have already seen the season 2 finale of Star Wars Rebels, tentatively named it's a one-hour special known as Twilight of the Apprentice. Like, no spoilers.
God,
there
is that loaded or what?
but I think that there's a new trailer out, and I'm gonna play the audio here. Let's see if it comes through. It's a little 30-second spot.
Seek knowledge. Here. Old Master, the dark side fights without mercy, without remorse. Use your anger, use your pain, let it fill you, fill you. The power will be mine!
What game are you playing?
The end game.
Oh, buddy.
So that, yeah, of course, that's the return of Sam Witwer as Darth. Or as Maul. We don't know.
No, he's still a Darth, man. That's like Ahsoka. Like, I'm not buying into this. Well, one person cast you out. Like, if you have the knowledge, you're knowledgeable. You're trained in the Darth Lord arts.
In
Darth
fact,
Lord, you shall be.
In fact, Entertainment Weekly, I didn't put the clip in the show prep, unfortunately, but Entertainment Weekly had an exclusive interview with Sam Witwer and Dave Filoni, and with it was a special clip from the piece, and it was Ezra's encounter with an old and wizened Darth Maul. But Mark, did you see it? Where are you looking at this? I'm going to pull it up.
No, I started watching it. I dropped the link for it into our Skype chat here, but I started watching it, but the sound was off because we were listening to the awesome intro music you had going. And, but it looks pretty intense, man.
So I just literally Googled Darth Maul, and it's the number one news story trending. This is, of course, as Lucasfilm's favored son from Entertainment Weekly, Anthony Bresnikan. Who did all of EW's reporting on The Force Awakens, is kind of still on the Star Wars beat, covering Star Wars Rebels and the return of Maul. Call me Old Master. There's my scene. There's my very shabby.
I'm so tickled for this. Like,
all right, here,
you know, since Maul walked off into the background, it's been a character I've been wanting to know more about.
Yeah, I think I scrolled down too far into the piece. Wow, it's a long interview. I didn't get a chance to read the whole.
Oh yeah, dude, it's big. It's pretty big. I was like, woo.
But all right, so prepare yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, for the pre-roll ad, as I'm sure is about to roll. But I will say this: the idea of the character of Darth Maul. Arguably the most popular character from the prequels, like in terms of iconography, like probably one of the most recognizable and popular characters, nearly, I dare say, flawlessly executed in the Clone Wars. My absolute favorite part. And now he's returning to Star Wars Rebels. Let's take a listen to this clip, courtesy of Entertainment Weekly. Almost. I got it. See, I want to reset it so we hear the very beginning. All right, here we go.
How much further?
You worry about your friends.
They need my help.
Yes, and with good reason. The Inquisitor is powerful.
Wait. You know about the Inquisitor?
He is my enemy. All Inquisitors and their masters are my enemies.
You a Jedi?
No, but I was once a Force wielder. Long ago. Long, long ago.
Then you're a Sith.
The Sith took everything from me. Ripped me from my mother's arms, murdered my brother, used me as a weapon, and then cast me aside. Abandoned me. Once I had power, now I have nothing. Nothing.
Wow. It's kind of an old and wizened and disappointed.
I take it back. He's not a Darth. Okay, I take it back. He's still a Sith. He's not a Darth.
Well, he has a grudge. A feud against the Sith, and rightfully so. He was cast out not once, but twice.
Oh, are you seeing the next trailer that comes on right after that?
No.
I've not seen this one either. What the heck?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's 3 minutes and 13 seconds long. Dude,
yeah.
It's got a big old Sith temple. Like, looks like a giant holocron that's launching up in the sky.
We had we played the audio from it last week, I believe. That was the big the big season finale trailer. And it's interesting because with Star Wars Rebels, what they've done is basically, and we're going to do, of course, the commentary for the episode itself after we wrap up recording here. What's interesting to me, Mark, is the fact that they've kind of just left the non-Force user characters, Hera, Zeb, Sabine, they all said their farewell, and it's like, and now we get down to business. Which is interesting to me because for the season finale, they're really drumming up Vader versus Ahsoka, Maul's reappearance. Does Ezra go to the dark side? Like, there's now a still image from the season finale with him with the weird Sithy eyes. You know, like they're really really drumming up interest here, which gets me really excited. Which says something about Star Wars Rebels. And the unfortunate truth is, from my perspective, Star Wars Rebels is at its strongest when it's focused on Ezra and Kanan in the context of the balance of the Force, the battle of the Force with the Inquisitors, with Ahsoka. In that context, that surrounding atmosphere, that's when Star Wars Rebels is at its best. And the episodes that don't really feature the Inquisitors or Ahsoka or Darth Vader or the larger Sith plot, and it's just kind of one-off rebellion action, that doesn't interest me as much. It hasn't really captured my imagination nearly as much. So, like, this season finale is exactly what I would want to see in a season finale. So I cannot wait for this Wednesday.
Well, the thing for me is, like, you know, the biggest draw for me with Star Wars was always the Jedi. And, you know, when the Order falls, we know what happens to Kenobi. We know what happens to Yoda. They go off. They do the hermit thing. There's nothing really exciting in their story after Episode 3.
Yeah.
And if there is, they've got to find some ways to make it creative and work. But with Ezra and Kanan, we have those Jedi. You know, we have the bridge. Ezra, in a lot of sense, he's Luke. I mean, you know, he's around the same age as Luke. You know, he's learning to be a Jedi. But unlike Luke, he's doing it from an earlier age. You know, still not quite as young as the other Jedi, but he's at an age where it's I don't know. It's interesting because, you know, if this is dangerous for Ezra to be trained at the age he is, when Yoda's like, oh, too old you are, you know, that makes – there's a little more gravity to it. And I think I'm really excited for that angle.
Yeah.
You know, when they talk about Twilight of the Apprentice, you know, we're talking about, well, this is probably Ahsoka. But they always play with these words where it means multiple things. What if the Twilight of the Apprentice in this case is the Twilight of Ezra going to the darkness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's gone. He's been living in the light. He's been living in the day, and he is in the twilight as he's shifting into the night because he's starting to go to the dark side. The you know, one of the last episodes we had was the Inquisitor's spirit as a Jedi ghost.
That's
telling
true.
Kanan, you know, he's going to fall, and there's nothing you can do. And part of Kanan's test was accepting that. mm-hmm. and accepting there's nothing he can do. And that's a part of the story that I'm really excited to see where they go with. I don't know. I mean, I'm really hooked on these Jedi. And, you know, I've been saying for a while now, someone's going to die. Mm-hmm. And I keep leaning towards it being Ahsoka because of the closure angle. But yeah. Again, if they had more planned for Fulcrum, maybe they're not going to kill her off right now. Maybe it's Kanan, and maybe, you know, maybe she has to take over Ezra's training, and Ezra's in a dark place. Maybe Kanan's death pushes him into the night, pushes him fully into the dark, and it's Ahsoka's job to try desperately to bring him back. You know, maybe Ahsoka has to redeem Ezra. There's so many angles they could go with this, but I just... Just the title alone, man. So charged. So charged.
It's there's a lot of opportunities here and a lot of ways they could go. The most obvious one, of course, you're right, Mark, being Twilight of the Apprentice. They're talking about Vader's former apprentice in Ahsoka. And I think that's the most likely outcome is Ahsoka's death. But it would be more subtle if they went for something more along the lines of, say, Kanan's death, like you say, Mark, and getting you know, Ezra pushed towards the dark side, which seems to be the case here when he's talking to Maul. Like, his first thing is like, oh, you're a Sith Lord. And Maul was like, no, the Sith destroyed me. I hate the Sith. And then suddenly in the clip, you know, Ezra's sympathetic because Ezra has no love lost for the Sith. In fact, Kanan's kind of raising him to think of the Inquisitors as Sith acolytes. Mm-hmm. They kind of lump them all in the same box. So
yeah, they're definitely the same force. I mean, that I don't know. To me, that's one of the things. Like, I think, like, if Kanan dies, as much as I don't think that would happen, but I truly think story wise, I think it opens a lot more doors, and I think it serves to tie the Clone Wars and Rebels together in a way that couldn't be done any other way. You know, you got all these complaints about, well, it's all Clone Wars 2.0. And I think that while you still tread that same dangerous line, but by making her take Kanan's place, it's story driven now. It's not just a gimmick. You know, it's not like bringing Maul back because everybody liked him in the prequel trilogy after you gave him a death that was really hard to come back by. It's not as out there in feasibility.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. Yeah. And then if nothing else, it's just great to have. I tweeted this out, actually. It's just fantastic to have Sam Witwer, who's been on this very podcast a while back at Dragon Con. We had him on, but just a great guy. And I mean, honestly, it may just be personal preference, but I have such a respect for Sam Witwer's ability to just act as an actor. He may be the most talented voice actor of the entire Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels project, just from these small clips, just because he is so nuanced and subtle and able to do angry Maul, able to do sort of a more Darth Sidious conniving Maul, and also now able to do sort of a beaten down, bitter, old Maul. I cannot wait. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We got a couple more stories right after this.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer from Being Human, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Way too good of an opportunity to take on that. All right, there we go. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about The Force Awakens, of course, coming to Blu-ray in like a week, right? It's like a week and some change.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
By the time you're listening to this on a podcast version, you will be like 1 week and 1 day from the release of Star Wars The Force Awakens on Blu-ray. It's absolutely awesome. But we're getting more and more pieces of information about just what's going to be on this Blu-ray. We didn't really cover the news story. We didn't put it in the notes, but I think it's worth mentioning right at the outset. It leaked. It leaked online, ladies and gentlemen. The old pirates. Arrgh. I'm a Force Awakens pirate. Arrgh. The pirates got it and uploaded it, and more than 250,000 people illegally downloaded it already online. And
wait, the deleted scenes or the film itself?
The full-length film, not the deleted scenes. So just the
Blu-ray. Well, see, that's funny, though, because, like, the film was out on the internet a week after it released.
Exactly,
like,
but here's
so
the catch.
So all that people are getting is just a better quality. Like, the pirates have been doing this from the moment of its conception.
Arrgh. I'm just going to keep saying that. Yeah, no, it's because there are, of course, all kinds of camcorder versions that leak online. But it's funny that there's that much demand for a high-quality version. Of course, guys, just wait a week. And here's what got my goat, Mark, was all the news sites. This is something else I was tweeting about. I've been tweeting a lot this week. it was like IO9. Literally, all they do is a story that was published with a giant headline, The Force Awakens Blu-ray leaks online. And it said, and then it just says, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, you can now go online and download illegally. It's like, come on, guys. That's not wow. a story.
That's a big neon arrow.
Exactly. Come on. Like, seriously.
They're like,
that's...
everybody climb aboard the ship. We're not sailing it, but we've got access to the bilge.
We're the pirates of IO9. Arrgh.
We're friends of the captain. We're also friends with Shmi, but that's okay.
Well, actually, we now have more exact examples of pirates in Star Wars with Maz Kanata. Yeah. Maz Kanata would not approve, even if her denizens did.
Maz Kanata, for a pirate, she was pretty pimp.
She was. She's a Han Solo.
Where's my boyfriend? I like that Wookiee.
I like that Wookiee.
She was a great kid. There's another voice actress that doesn't get enough credit.
Exactly. No, Lupita Nyong'o is amazing. But okay, so we're getting to the deleted scenes. And I'm actually going to play the clip here. They released a teaser for the deleted scenes, including... Kylo Ren says you've seen the movie. Walking aboard the Millennium Falcon and kind of having a moment in the cockpit there. Think about this, Mark. He probably learned to fly in that cockpit.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it teased a scene with Maz Kanata and Han Solo and Finn underneath the pirate castle confronting some stormtroopers. But, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. There are a couple.
You notice one of these scenes, it looks like Finn is in the Resistance headquarters room being worked on.
Yes, and so there are a number of scenes. We're not going to go through all of them in detail. Suffice to say, it's exciting. Nothing too thrilling. Nothing groundbreaking or earth-shattering in terms of deleted scenes. Like I say, the main reason I want this Blu-ray, besides just having an at-home copy, is the behind-the-scenes documentary that we talked about last week.
That's why we're going to Target.
Exactly. Yeah, no, we're going
to
Target.
Stay on Target.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go to Target. And this begs another question, Mark. So we've talked about it off and on, and I keep intending to, and I keep getting busy each week. So we've only got a week and some... Well, let's see. So today's the 25th as we record. This is released on, I don't know, the 28th. So this podcast is released a week and a day before the Blu-ray comes out. I guess it's too late. I dabbled around and then procrastinated, and it's too late. I was kind of hoping to do an in-theater commentary, and it's still in theaters around here. There's still a couple in the Atlanta area that have it.
I have a few more showings at mine.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. So, man, I was hoping to do that, but it looks like our first actual feature-length commentary will be based on the Blu-ray, and I would like to... And we're going to go buy it at Target opening night if it's possible, and maybe do a little Periscope stream or something. You can stay tuned on our Twitter at Star Wars Report for that once that's coming about. And also the courtesy of the good folks over at Lucasfilm are sending us a review copy as well. But of course I want my own copy too. So I'm gonna be receiving and buying and probably buying honestly several copies for family members and stuff like that. So it's gonna be very exciting. The Force Awakens on Blu-ray on digital HD April 1st and Blu-ray April 5th, Tuesday, April 5th. So, ladies and gentlemen, good times to be had. Good times to be had indeed. Okay. All right. So we got a couple more stories that we want to talk about. Let's see. What do we have here? Oh, this is good. This is good. This is actual confirmation from the Ford's mouth.
Ooh.
Because it's always been long rumored that Harrison Ford really wanted, depending on who you ask, to kill off the darn character already.
Our first guest tonight was...
Or, in his words, maybe a little bit more gently, you know, to give him some depth and sacrifice. So let's take a listen to Harrison Ford on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Recently certified by the U.S. Mint as the highest grossing actor in the history of the box office of the United States of America. He is here tonight to beef that total up. Star Wars The Force Awakens is out on digital HD on April 1st and DVD and Blu-ray April 5th with behind-the-scenes footage like this.
Han and Chewie entering the Falcon.
I turned around, and there must have been 200 people standing behind me, all staring at the monitor, wanting to see Harrison come into the Millennium Falcon for the first time.
Now, this is all from the behind-the-scenes documentary that we were talking about.
And amazing. Camera, action.
And then you see just an incredulous J.J. Abrams. And then it's Harrison Ford. Being the typical Harrison Ford. Looking confused as he walks onto the set. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why Harrison Ford is the movie star he is. He's just got... he's got it. He's got it.
Well, that's his original thing, though. You know, when he was doing American Graffiti. What? Me? You want me to go out there?
Exactly.
I got some chills when I saw that scene there. I know you probably scoff at that.
I got some chills when I saw that the door goes up.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's just like space.
Not so much. Yeah.
You were here in October promoting Star Wars, and here you are again in March promoting Star Wars.
What the hell? I think it's quite clear that I've got nothing better to do.
What could be better than this? You told me last time you were here that you've been pushing for many years to have Han Solo killed off. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I hope at this point everyone who wants to see the movie has seen the movie, but you succeeded.
You work for like 25 years for the company.
Yeah.
You do your best.
Uh-huh.
You show up every day. You do your job.
Uh-huh.
And then they just let you go.
In this case, they actually killed you.
Shocking. Shocking.
When you saw
yourself... No, I argued for 30 years for this to happen.
Right.
And finally, I wore him down.
I guess you did. So you won't be in any of the other movies, or Han Solo won't be in any
here it
other
is.
Movies?
Who said that?
I'm asking.
Who made you the boss?
Do you know? Nobody made me the boss. No one ever will make me the boss. But
all right, there
know?
It is. Harrison Ford on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. He finally got him to kill Han Solo, Mark.
Well, let's talk about the Bantha in the room here this episode. I mean, we watched in episode one, Darth Maul get cut in half and fall down a shaft, a big chasm, a shaft. And then he comes back in the Clone Wars. Han Solo just took a lightsaber blade through the gut. I mean, fell down a shaft. We don't know. I mean, maybe he fell down and fell into that same...
Maybe he fell into the
back of General Hux's speeder when Hux was rushing to go and get Kylo Ren.
Blew up. There's no way. I refuse.
No, I'm telling you, Han fell all the way down and he fell into the back of Hux's speeder. That's how he got out. He was in the back of the speeder the whole time.
Hux took
the speeder. He went and got Kylo. They went and pulled one of those quick little Serenity drop pickups where they just flew the shuttle, or they had the shuttle come down. They flew the speeder right into it. And then, lo and behold, it's not a Reaver. It's Han Solo, half dead in the back seat. Oh, I'm telling you.
If
it wasn't Tatooine, it could happen.
Kind of like, it's not unlike Yoda and Bail Organa in episode 3. It's just like, falls out there, escapes somewhere. But no, the planet blew up. He's dead. The king is dead. I guess maybe they could leave the door open. And he also talked about being, you know, here's the big news of the week as well, is Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones. Dum, ba-dum, bum.
Dr. Jones!
Return of the Shia LaBeouf. Oh, wait. Probably not.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Mutt, but I don't think they're going to go there. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see this thing that the Latino Review had referenced the Paula Dern story? They had some info on her.
Tell me about it.
Well, it seems that they confirmed that she is going to be a leader in the resistance.
Oh, I'll actually tell you what. Let me jump in real quick, because we did get a couple emails and tweets when we did this last time, because it's still so early in the stage for episode 8, is that a lot of these rumors are still rumors and can change. But as we get closer, and the more we know, especially in terms of costumes and stuff, we do want to be sensitive to people who don't want to know anything about episode 8. That just occurred to me. So I'll tell you what, Mark, we're gonna throw to all the episode 8 stuff. We're just gonna I'm gonna take a look at the notes that we have in front of us here. And we're gonna shift that all the way to the end of the program, so that folks who don't want to.
Hey, and I like that idea. I was just putting that in our show notes, going, should we have a spoiler rumor section after our bounty?
I think so. We're gonna. So we'll do, as of now,
boom, tough actin, ten actin.
There it is. That's decision made. Boom, like that. And yes, to all the people, let it be said, everyone who tweeted and emailed us, we heard you. Because a lot of the stuff isn't super spoilery. It's not like Han Solo died type of spoilers, but you know, like,
you son of a Sith,
whatever Lara Dern's role is, you know, it may not be a big spoiler, it'll probably be revealed in trailers and stuff anyway, but just in case, we'll talk about her role in some other episode 8 awesomeness that is stirring in the pot. So we'll get to all that in just a minute, but I think it's time for another segment, and that is, you guys know it, you guys love it, it is time for Boba's Bounty.
He was a lot to me.
It's Boba's Bounty each week. Mark and myself and guests sometimes select something we've been up to, reading, watching, gaming, and all that awesome sauce. Last week, I rudely just barreled through the segment and totally absentmindedly, through my own fault, just forgot Mark's. I just like went straight into feedback. And Mark was super cool and professional about it and didn't even bring it up because we were rolling through the show. So Mark, and in light of that, I give the floor to you and let you kick off with your Boba's Bounty for this week.
Okay, well, so that gives me quite a few things. Well, I'll just hit them off in rapid success. If you haven't been following my Facebook and stuff, I have started rearranging the studio. So that's been a big ongoing adventure. If you know, you follow our show, you know I'm big into scouting. I've got a lot of camping supplies, not just for camping in general, but specific camping like cave camping and snow camping. So I've got a whole section all just dedicated to that now. And what's really cool about this new layout is I've actually got an escape now. Like my desk is actually by the back door that leaves the garage. So like now I've got a little quick out if I want to. Whereas before I kind of had myself boxed in. But by opening it up like this, it's allowed me this really cool, like Riley's the only one that can really see it. I've got three walls now behind me in the camera with the whole collection just displayed out behind me. It's really cool. I'm really enjoying that.
Nice.
And then to go along with that, you know, my wife, she just recently had a hysterectomy surgery. And so I was down at the hospital doing that. And one of my friends had called me up and was like, hey, I had something I want to show you. I was like, okay, man, what is it? What's up? You know, I'm always here for you. What do you need? He's like, well, it's a Star Wars statue. I'm like, oh, you got one? You know, I'm thinking like, you know, Riley's little stormtrooper kind of thing. He's like, yeah. So I spent a lot of money on it. So I want to show you. I want to see your reaction in person, though. I don't want to send you the picture. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm down at the hospital right now. I'm going to be here for at least like a couple days. When do you want to, you know, meet up? And he's like, well, I'm going to be in town today, you know, because he doesn't live in town. So he's like, all right, you know, I'll meet you up in the parking lot or something. So he shows up, you know, came and gave my wife some flowers and stuff. He's like, come out to my car. You go see it. So I go out to his car, and he has got this. It is number 1,115 of 5,000, and it's got a little engraved plaque on it. Jabba the Hutt. It's a monster, Jabba the Hutt. And I'm just like, oh, my God, dude, that is so cool. Like, I'm not – like, Jabba's cool and all, but I don't really care that much for Jabba toys. Like, it's not like my rush-out-and-get kind of figure. I don't really dig on Jabba that much, but this thing is pimpalicious. Like, this thing is Star Wars swag-tastic. Like, I'm drooling on the detail of this thing. Like there's little suction things on the bottom of Jabba. Like, details I never really paid attention to until I got the Blu-ray kind of stuff, right?
Nice.
And I'm like, wow, man, like, you got one hell of a score. And he's like, and he's just beaming. I'm just like, he's telling me about how he conned his friend. His friend was always talking about how if he ever sold it, you know, he's going to sell it for a lot of money. And his friend was hurting for cash. And he's like, dude, $200, man. I'll take it off your hands right now. And he's like, the cash talked, man.
There you go.
So I want you to know I got this for you as a homecoming, you know, a homewarming gift. And I'm like,
aww.
Are you kidding? Like, I mean, I was like, are you fooling with me right now? And he's like, yeah, me and him, we've always joked around. He's one of my best friends from when I worked at Kodak, one of the twins, right? And I've always been the Jedi, and he's always been the Sith Lord. And he's like, well, you know, he's like, I'm a Sith Lord. Like, I can't ask for anything without giving something because, you know, he lives in a distance from us now, and his kids are in another distance, and he's got bad glaucoma, so he can only drive so many hours before he has to stop somewhere. So he was asking, you know, can I stay at your house sometimes? And I'm like, you know, this is before you even show me. I'm like, anything, man. You know, I've got two sheds, whatever you need, bro. I'm here for you. And he's like, you know what? Like a Sith Lord, I don't take something without giving. Something, so this is yours. And I was just,
that's amazing.
Oh my gosh. So I've taken a few pictures. I've had it shown up on you know, with the shelf.
I was going to say, if folks want to, if they want to see this, where can they find the pictures?
Yeah, I'll put a picture in the show notes, too. I've got a picture with the Princess Leia of the Unleashed series, the ones where they're the tall statues,
oh,
with her
yeah.
on Jabba's sail barge. And even that, like, she's actually kind of smaller than scale size. It's insane. I just absolutely love it. I can't believe, you know, for a gift, like, it's like a wow thing. In the sight of literature, I just finished the audiobook of The Perfect Weapon. It was really cheap. It was like $1.85, something like that.
I've actually,
real short.
Yeah, no, I got about halfway through, but I haven't finished it, and I was enjoying it. I just got busy.
Yeah, so okay, so I won't spoil anything for you. But man, I was kind of let down. Like, me and Nate, we were talking about how, like, this ties into the film, and you're going to find out that the crate that Luke's lightsaber comes out. Not true. I feel like I was leading people astray. That's not actually established in there whatsoever. It's a loose connection at best. I was kind of really disappointed. I liked the story. I really cared more for the character that you see in the film in the story than I ever did in the film. But it kind of let me down overall when I think about when the prequels came out. And I think about specifically the comic book Prelude to Rebellion, which was supposed to be this lead-in comic that tells you all about this Jedi from the stories. And it was about Ki-Adi Mundi and how he had to go home and how you learned about how, well, he was a special Jedi on a planet where there were very few males. And so he had to take a whole bunch of wives, and one of his daughters was kidnapped. And by the time the film came out, you find out he was nothing to the plot. He was nothing to the overall story. And that there was really nothing tying that comic into the film. And that's kind of how I felt like that one was. It was a decent story. The author did a good job. Audiobook-wise, the narrator was kind of deadpan more often than not. But I enjoyed the fact that it was a female narrator for once. But yeah, it was kind of like, you know, it wasn't the gleaming, shining star of what I was hoping for. And now we're going to have a Tales of book for characters from that cantina as well. And I'm kind of like, wow.
Wait, we are?
Yeah, there's going to be a little Tales of type story coming down. And I'm kind of like, huh. I don't know how I feel about this.
That's kind of what Perfect Weapon was, right? Wasn't Perfect Weapon kind of a Tales of type story?
It easily could. And I wouldn't even be surprised if when that other book comes out, if they slip this in at the back.
Yeah, like, no, that makes sense.
I mean, it'd be a no-brainer, really. But that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, wow, you guys are really following those old footsteps. And that is not a no-brainer move, because those old steps got a lot of criticism about how they dropped the ball.
Mike, let me break it down for the folks. Because, like, here's I just had an epiphany while you're talking. And that is, like, if I'm being honest, if I load up my Audible app, I still have it sitting there, and it costs like $2. You're right. It's a short story. It's like a couple hours of an audiobook. It's not too bad at all. And I was enjoying it. It's well written, well paced action. You learn about, if for you guys who don't know, Perfect Weapon, it's the assassin lady with kind of the weird bald cap, dark lipstick and makeup type weird thing who's hanging out with big Jabba-sized alien at Maz Kanata's castle. I don't remember her name.
Yeah, she's stroking his chin with
exactly. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And so it's basically her backstory. She's the one who informs the First Order that Finn and Han Solo and
inform the First Order.
Yeah, Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon have the droid they're looking for.
Tell that to Kanji Club.
There's a great meme, by the way, that was going around Twitter today. That was, could you tell Kanji Club? Is that who you could tell? From Return of the Jedi. I kid you not.
Nice.
But here's the problem. This is with pretty much every piece of Star Wars literature so far in the new canon for me. What I mean, total transparency. I'm not like a book kind of guy. I've read a lot of EU books, but not nearly as many as Mark, obviously, and as many as a lot of people listening. But really, for me, it started with A New Dawn. When A New Dawn came out, and I was reading it, I really wanted to give the book a fair shake and chance, and it just did not hold my interest. And I'm really just now figuring out why. It had the same problem that Perfect Weapon has, and that is, it doesn't tie in beyond just peripherally with the story itself. So like in the case of A New Dawn, you have the mining planet and adventures and the how Hera and Kanan were going to meet and all the politics of this weird mining planet and characters that I had no idea who they were or what their connection was with the story. And when the characters don't connect with the central story that started with the films, As well written as the action and adventure is, you're just creating a bigger barrier to fans like myself who want to know, like in the case of Perfect Weapon, how does this connect with The Force Awakens as a story? Not just, oh, it's the cool lady we saw in Form the First Order. In Form the First Order, Han Solo's aboard the Millennium Falcon. That's my terrible accent again. But no, seriously, like that's the problem. That's my biggest trouble with a lot of the new canon that I've tried and then stopped reading, is that it doesn't engage the reader if the reader is someone who wants a story that adds to and fleshes out the story in the films.
Your thumb's right on the emitter button, man. That is absolutely. And even, I mean, you're saying casual to books. I'm the hardcore guy, and that's the same issue I'm having. I mean, I think about Dark Empire, right?
Yeah,
Luke's fall to the dark side.
Exactly.
That only happened in the comics. And yet the books had to treat that like that happened in the films. Like that because the EU took themselves very serious like that. Whereas now they're saying it's all canon. They are taking a very safe approach. Leading to really lame stories. And
that's the word.
Where I'm like, that's what they did during the prequels. They created an era of really bad stories because they were afraid to touch on stuff, but they were trying to build up hype. And then you go back to those stories. And Prelude to Rebellion is the one that's really – it's really the exact same scenario here.
Mark, you hit on you hit on the exact right word. It's too safe.
Yeah.
Be willing to make these stories have greater consequences with the story of the films, and then you can branch out from there. But that's really, I think, if I were to, just as an aside, you reminded me of it, so I figured I would.
Well, see, like now Maul's coming on Rebels, but had he not, in a book or in a comic, would have been a perfect way to have wrote him out, which we thought we were getting with the comic that was bridging between Legends and canon, that one that we got with him and his brother, which didn't do anything more than send him off with the Mandalorians. Which
and
we
the
were
second,
like, well, what happened?
Believe me, to quote a prominent political politician right now, believe me, when I heard that there wasn't really any actual resolution to Maul's story in that comic book, I didn't pick that comic book up. And here we are, where the actual serious like continuation of Maul's story is happening on Star Wars Rebels, and I couldn't be happier. And that's what that's when the problems with Star Wars Rebels, when it's just a one-off adventure of Sabine. I mean, it's fun television, but it doesn't have consequences within the greater mythology. And that's when by the way, just to be clear, when I say consequences, I don't mean like people have to die or something like that. I'm just saying in the context of Star Wars as a mythology, what makes it great are the films. Honestly,
event that changed something.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And that's just when you talk about good storytelling, you need to make characters that you care about. And all I'm saying is, in Star Wars, there are characters, situations, planets, weapons, technologies. There are all kinds of things that we care about in Star Wars. And any time that you tell a story and you don't take advantage of that, you're just setting yourself up for a failure. At least, if nothing else, an enormous difficulty capturing the readers. So we'll see where the new canon goes. Of course, we've got Perfect Weapon coming out, and I'll keep. Honestly, I'm pretty weary. I'm pretty like until I hear like a big uprising within fandom saying, "Wow, this is the greatest book of the new canon. Everyone should read this." Like, I'm not really going to – I've been burned. I don't really want to try it. But a lot of that – and just to be fair, because I know there are a lot of people who love these books and who don't necessarily need that connection to the greater mythology that I prefer, just for me personally. I understand that, and if the, and if it's your thing, it's your thing. But I just think it's an opportunity missed. But yeah, but wow, this is gonna be a long Boba's Bounty. My thing is Battlefront again, but specifically, I've gotten Bethany into it. So we're having these
sweet because that's surprising because I was going to ask you if you got the downloaded content because I have not got the pass and I'm kicking myself in the arse because I'm like, why didn't I do that? It was only $49 and now we've got one come out. I don't know. What about you, man?
I'm tempted to buy it, but I have not purchased the season pass for the Outer Rim content yet. No. So my soft pick is Battlefront because it's sort of new because me and Bethany are playing split screen trying to beast survival mode on the hardest setting, and we keep almost winning, but we haven't yet. It's been a week long.
So that's
process.
How your we can start in 10 minutes turned into 22.
Exactly. We were playing it earlier tonight. and so that's kind of my soft pick. But my real pick as far as like Star Wars stuff that I've been doing this week. Oh, actually, now I need to pick up my notes. You had a question. Oh, the Battlefront DLC. There was what was I reading? This is a terrible time to blank. Here, let me pause my recording and find it. I had it up in one of my previous tabs. Hang on. There we go. I thought it would be a brief brain fart, Mark, but we just literally, I was like, what was it? But actually, this week I want to plug a podcast episode that I was listening to earlier today. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with and or listen to, but if you don't, this week's episode of Rebel Force Radio was really good, which they're always really good, those guys, Jason and Jimmy. But this week in particular, shout-outs all the way around because they had, as a special guest on their show, the inimitable and precocious Bonnie Burton on for the entire show. And she's just she is... absolutely insane in the best of ways.
So riddle me this real quick. Did she mention whether or not she got back on with Lucasfilm? Because I saw that she was applying for her old job again.
I don't know. She didn't mention anything about that. It didn't sound like it. Because she's doing stuff with CNET now, daily blogging, and she's blogging for Nerdist and a few other sites. Absolute social media maven, and used to do a lot of work with Lucasfilm, and actually tell some fun stories about it too. So nice. It's a really cool and unique episode, and you know, maybe sometime we'll get her on. She's really cool. But yeah, it's this week's episode of Rebel Force Radio. It's really good. If you want to give it a listen, I'll make a note of that in the notes.
Nice,
Mark. So that way we can make sure we get the links again. The links to anything we talk about in the Boba's Bounty segment or anything we talk about in the news segment. We put those in the show notes for the Star Wars Report podcast. So you can head over to StarWarsReport.com, and then you could, and just search for episode 215. You can click on the different podcasts, and that is the episode number that you are looking for. All right.
So really quick, mm-hmm. Do we want to touch on feedback next or rumors? I know we're getting close to the hour mark.
Oh, wow. We sure are.
These rumors are kind of juicy.
We're gonna hit up both. I'm going to jump to Gideon's email, and then we're going to cut to our rumor segment. So we'll do Gideon's email real quick, and then we'll just hit – I'll have you, Mark, hit through the ones that you were most intrigued by. But we did get an email here. Want to get to it from Gideon. Gideon writes, "Hey, my name's Gideon, 28-year-old college student, and I've been a fan of Star Wars since I've had memories. I was introduced to Star Wars through the 20th anniversary VHS box and also used to watch the live-action Ewok TV series," which he made a quick correction. It was the Ewok Adventure movies. Caravan of Courage and the Battle of Endor. Yeah. Still haven't seen either of them.
But we played the level.
That's so true. There's a reference to Caravan of Courage in the latest Battlefront update. But he went on to say, "I used to think that I wasn't into Star Wars that much until I met my wife 9 years ago, managed to convince her to watch 6 episodes before 7 released, and... The conversion was successful. Due to this, I've determined that the only people who don't like Star Wars are the ones that haven't watched it. If only, Gideon, if only. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that I started searching for Star Wars podcasts, and I found out about episode 7, but couldn't really find any all-encompassing news report for a while. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 weeks after The Force Awakens released and was in theaters when I found The Star Wars Report. I went back and listened to episodes starting with the last one before the release, and now I listen every week. Unfortunately, I usually listen on Tuesday or Wednesday, but I hope to catch a live cast in the near future. That's right, Gideon, Friday nights, 8 p.m., unless Mark's Barbershop or Riley's Woo. Battlefront playing delays us. but he did actually jump in, of course, a couple episodes back in previous months. This was a theme for a while. So his one sentence, I love Star Wars because, are you ready, Mark?
Okay.
While a maiden viewing may present a simple and straightforward story, further interpretation and deeper understanding expose a complex web of mystery and intrigue in every facet of the universe.
Amen! And that works also for Legends! Yes! Yes! This man gets it!
Bam, 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 bam. Yes, you did it. Oh, goodness. Gideon. I did it in one sentence. Congratulations, sir. You win. Well done. A lot of commas, but it was technically one sentence. So well done, sir. And he also cut parts with his favorite episodes by order. It's here's an interesting order. It's 3, 7, 6. So the original trilogy has to be bumped all the way to third place. 3, 7, 6. 1, 4, 3, 2. And poor Attack of the Clones, pulling up the rear as always. and thanks, Gideon, for your email, and we do appreciate you tuning in, and that's cool. A lot of people have come on board with the Star Wars Report in the wake of the Force Awakens. So that's always an exciting time.
And that just made me think of something really funny. But I pray to God that number 2 stays dead last, because if it doesn't, that means that they made another movie worse, and I don't want that to ever happen.
I mean, the mathematical probability increases as they keep making these things. I have a theory, Mark. We don't really have time to get into it. Maybe on a future episode, I'll make a note right now. Riley's theory. I think that Rogue One is in some trouble. I think that there's some behind. This is just absolutely unsubstantiated, but I bet they are late in the process, still trying to really figure out what this movie is about. Because I bet there's some real behind the scenes pressure to make Darth Vader really prominent in this movie in a way that it isn't. And I think that that's. I don't know. What do you think, Mark? Well, and we'll touch on it maybe more later. But
that could be more trouble in the aspect of that playing it safe, because you know if they play it safe with a movie and don't connect it to anything beyond just one film, they've got to start interweaving these things, man. And this is the perfect time to do. I still think they're doing this as the guinea pig. I'm hoping that's the plan.
No, I could see that. Well, and we'll find out. We'll find out very soon. But Mark, hit me up. Let's hit some of those awesome sauce episode 8 rumors, ladies and gentlemen. This is your cue. We'll do our, of course, end credits and stuff afterwards. But if you don't want any episode 8 spoilers at all, nothing super serious yet. But if you're super sensitive about that, now's your time to bail, and we'll see you next week. Otherwise, to you, Mr. Mark.
Well, they talk about Poe having a new outfit that he's wearing, a Han Solo-like jacket. If, you know, well, it couldn't be Han's because it burned up on the planet, I guess, but a Han Solo-like jacket. But they also, the Latin Review had referred to some of their stories, and I guess it was spot on, is what they say. But Laura Dern, they say she's a leader in the resistance. They talk about Leia's ship being ambushed. She gets blasted through space. Leia ends up in a coma somehow, which. Apparently, Laura Dern's character gets to take over the Resistance Command because of this, but ends up making things worse. So, with that in mind, if you take in consideration that Poe and her are supposed to apparently bump heads, Poe takes control of the situation, becomes the interim leader of the Resistance. They talk about the way that Dern's portrayed. We're not sure she's meant to be good or bad, which I think that's cool. I definitely like the fact that they have that with a character, but I think, though, that they should do that with more than one character. I think especially if you're going to have a character that could be bad in the mix, have a few of them that people are like, I don't know, could they be? I don't know. You know, having it just be one, then it's like, well, it's a question of is she or isn't she? But if you have more than one, the question of is she or isn't she is, well, then who else could it be?
Indeed, indeed.
So there was that, and then there was some talk about the Dubrovnik. God, I can't read that. I can say
it's
it
hard,
all day
it's
long.
Hard.
I can't read it.
Believe me, I've had to practice a lot whenever we talk to Brojdar.
Yeah, but the fear and loathing in Las Vegas is what they're talking about. They're talking about how it's got a Las Vegas look to the windows, a picture of the windows, which I guess they're lit up for the first time. I know I've seen these during the day and stuff from other shots where they've encouraged people to come in and shoot the photos of, but I've never seen them lit up before. So with them lit up, I could see what they're kind of talking about. In that regard, though, it actually has a very episode two feel. The underworld on episode two probably was the closest we were going to get to a Vegas until this.
That's true. No, that looked pretty cool. That looked pretty cool. And it looks like, and also, you know, the one last piece I wanted to hit up is that it looks like filming is and preparation is continued in Ireland. In Sybil Head, Cansibel, and Browhead shoots, they're supposed to last 5 days apiece, different locations across Ireland. One location of which looks like they're reconstructing portions of what looks like the monastery on Skellig Michael. Looks like a general location there. So we know that Daisy Ridley and Mark Hamill are going to return to Ireland for filming too, from some other rumors as well. So it's like,
yeah, they
it's
talk about
time.
It picking up right after episode 7, which we haven't really talked about that either. I mean, that's new and unprecedented for you know, the films. We've seen the episodes of the Clone Wars and Rebels do that, but not the films.
That's so
Until
true.
Rogue One kind of does it to episode 4. They're starting to break the mold. They're breaking the mold, man, finally. Now, if they can only do it with the books and comics and really back in, Riley.
I'm telling you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up this week's podcast episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an absolute blast. Another episode in the can. It's the Star Wars Report podcast, pure, unadulterated Star Wars fun. Each and every week, we thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of the family. Gideon, thanks for your email. If you want to email us like Gideon did, shoot us an email. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And be a part of the conversation. And speaking of being part of the conversation, you can do so as well on social media. The number one best place to communicate with me and Mark is on Twitter. Mark is at IllogicalRogue2, and I am at TheRileyGuy, R-I-L-E-Y, TheRileyGuy, all one word. And of course, you can follow the main show feed for Star Wars news and other fun bits at Star Wars Report, and of course, Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Additionally, don't want to forget, leave us an iTunes review. We really need to get up a few more reviews. If you're a new listener and you like what you hear, we'll help spread the word of the show. Share it with your friends, and also leave us an iTunes review. If you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, all lowercase, that takes you straight to a nice, easy, pretty link that directs you straight to our iTunes page. Without all of the hassle of having to type in a bunch of zeros and dashes and everything. It just takes you straight there, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and then you can log in with your iTunes ID and simply leave us a rating and or review. It really helps the show with rankings as people are out there searching for Star Wars podcasts like Gideon was, which is always a fun, good time. Also, you can stay subscribed to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, on pretty much every major podcatcher. And of course, just the RSS feed. And all those links are found at StarWarsReport.com under the show notes for episode 215. That's all, folks. For the folks live as well as the Patreon people, we're getting ready. We're going to do our podcast commentary for the latest Star Wars Rebels episodes. Here's the question, Mark. Have you seen it?
No.
All right.
Actually, I haven't.
I have, so it's going to be a little bit different. I have, you haven't. We're going to do our commentary live while you watch it, and Mark's going to see it for the first time, and you're going to get his live reactions to all of the craziness. Another one in the can, man. Good times. Good times were had by all. For Mark, for myself, may the Force be with you. And remember,
many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
That's right. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Many died.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer from Being Human, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Bum, 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 bum. All right. Let me show
you. I listen to the Star Wars Report religiously.